Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 2nd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. In today's agricultural news, the new farm bill may contain a possible WTO complication. The National Cotton Council is wary of that body as it pertains to U.S. farm law. And USDA has mailed out the new Census of Agriculture. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many other ag news stories. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, I'll tell you about next week's Crop Protection Technology Conference scheduled for Wednesday and Thursday in the Illini Union right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Markets Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at what happened in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit. The March contract up 30 cents today. Settled at $9.15. May at $9.22.5, up 29.5. And July contract at $7.90.75, up 15.25. March corn futures at $4.62.5, gained 7 cents. The May futures up 6.75. $4.73.5 the settlement there. July contract at $4.83, up 6.5. And your new crop harvest month, December, $4.80.25, 6.75 higher. January soybean futures at $12.32.5, up 33.5. The March at $12.48.75, 34.5 cents higher. And the May contract at $12.64.5, up 34.75. November soybeans at $11.48. Even, up 27.5 cents. January soybean meal at $3.38, up $6.50. The March at $3.44.10, up $7.40. January bean oil up 1.11 at $49.96. The March contract at $50.80, up 1.17. And from the Mercantile Exchange, the nearby live cattle February contract at $96.25, 7.5 cents higher. April futures up 55 at $99.05. And the January feeder cattle at $104.42.5 on a Wednesday afternoon finished 67.5 cents lower. March contract there down 60 cents at $106.50. February lean hogs at 57.17.5 down 70. The April futures 63.27.5, 47.5 lower. And the May contract in lean hogs 45 cents lower at 69.45. The pork bellies ended 17.5. lower at 85.80 on this Wednesday. Crude oil futures February contract $99.64, up 3.66. The March contract at $99.30, 3.52 higher. The CRB at 3.66.82, up 8.11. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now down just about 213 points at 13,054 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened in the futures markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
And Happy New Year to you, Todd.
Happy New Year to you as well. Looks like we're going to start the new year off on this second day of January with a pretty good run to the upside, at least at the Board of Trade.
Yes. You know, this is, of course, the new business year first business day after the new year. And traditionally, you know, farmers that sell their grain for last year and they come in and collect their checks. And it's been very busy at the ADM Grain Company here in Oakland, Illinois, as farmers collect their money and go on and do other things. And, of course, it's usually a good day because, you know, even with these higher prices, that means the farmers uh, have more money to spend than normal, and then also at the same time, it's a big deal for the elevators because they do have to write some pretty big checks and make sure they're good. So, you know, it's a combination of quite a bit of money changes hands and goes into the money and banking system of the United States.
You know, just offhand, and this happens all over the nation, not just at the AADM elevators, but for those who are not initiated and are not ag listeners, this really is a big day because farmers who have made sales are collecting on those sales at this point that they made to the elevators because they sometimes move cash from one year to the other to even out their adjusted gross incomes, especially when they have big years. But it really makes – this is really a big business day.
It's a big business day. You know, when we talk about wire transferring money, that's a concept that's hard to even, I'm sure, for some of the people over in the finance department at the University of Illinois to understand. But, you know, we are talking about tons of money and that go into the banking system and, you know, pay for new machinery, seed land, fertilizer, you name it. It does the trick. It's the real change in, you know, the different price levels here is also skyrocketed, too. So it is a big thing.
It's a big thing. It sets the tone for the coming year, and you can't really dispute the fact that today was an awfully good day in Chicago.
Yes, it is. Of course, trading started last night, and
yes,
we know that it was very cold. Let's say crude oil prices were higher. The weather forecasters were a little stingy, at least on the south half of Argentina. They're still very wet for Brazil. And also they are calling for rain in at least the north half of Argentina on a scattered basis. Drew Lerner and some of the other weather people are more active predictors of better rain starting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And I'm sure that it's in the nick of time if that does occur, but the marketplace was nervous, and that was one of the big reasons we saw the price rally last night in corn, soybeans, and wheat in the trading, and also a big factor in today's rally as well.
You know, and let me see. I don't pull those up. I can pull them up separately, but I don't see the day trade separated at the moment from the night trade. So tell me, was there a big difference in the ranges overnight and during the day trade?
Well, one of the things that we found was that the markets not only basically started in trading at the higher levels that were basically the last trades of the night session, you know, at 6 o'clock, they went on higher, particularly wheat, then soybeans, and then corn also was the mainly follower today. There is some talk of Pakistan showing some interest in wheat. There's also some, the cold weather really isn't a problem because of the snow cover, and the wheat crop is in pretty good condition here in the U.S., But the big factor is, of course, Pakistan, the cheaper dollar, and there was some possibilities, I think, of Bangladesh also coming in the wheat market, but it was for very small amounts. The Pakistan deals for 500,000 metric tons.
Well, tell me about these higher prices just a bit and what you make of them and how things traded last week, because there were a couple of awfully big up days last week at the Board of Trade, too.
And also some down days, too. Well, I have a couple of gentlemen in the office right now, and I said, well, what's the scale, on the relative strength indicator of pressure on you with these higher prices? And he said it's about a 7 or 8. And not only, there's pressure because you have to make the right decisions. There's input costs. There's marketing decisions and also investment decisions that you have to make. And, of course, these are very monumental, and, of course, a weather forecast change or something like that. And it's very important to lock in these profits to maximize all your higher input costs. We do pick up this, Todd. The phones started to ring last Friday and then on Monday, too, indicating that there is a tremendous demand for soybeans, for seed. And one of the things we're finding is it's we know the the good drummer planting in areas of Illinois, those are probably going to stay a lot on the corn side. But in the other areas, we are getting the feeling that there is going to be an increase in soybeans being planted, not only in the double crop wheat areas, but also other areas. And input costs are a factor there, as well as maybe the corn yields really weren't the home runs that the traditional areas where the guys, you know, have learned how to do it, to buy the right seed, put the right fertilizer on, and hopefully get the rainfall at the right time. So there is going to be some cutbacks in some areas. The million-dollar question is just how much right now. But we do get the feeling there's going to be plenty of beans. And the bean spreads in the Chicago futures market today, old crop beans were up 33 and the new crop beans were up 27. So we did notice that the new crop beans were trading behind the old crop considerably.
You know, on that note, and you mentioned that the corn wasn't the home run in some areas that it was in others this year. What do you think the possibility that USDA will come out in January with a final number that's lower than it has been?
You know, there's two groups of people, and of course I think talk about Think Tank A and Pharma basically feels that the odds are pretty high for a smaller corn crop, and they're also talking about better feed usage, and that means $5 a bushel corn, whereas Dan Bassi feels that the crop was harvested quick, and it was. And also the yields in the Delta and the South were a lot better than people were even talking about and really reflected in the by the government yield numbers. And, of course, you know, as I mentioned to you all through the season, I had five people that indicated there was 240 bushels in their area in Illinois. And, you know, I never heard of those kind of yields in the past. So my hunch is that we still had a very good corn crop so that's the way that some of the good think tank people are really seeing. Bassi feels we'll have a bigger corn crop.
Yeah.
In Pharma feels we'll have a little smaller crop.
Boy, I tell you, that Memphis to Cairo area, and then to top that off with the ability of the infrastructure to handle just such a large crop so quickly, and it seems so easily, is it makes it hard to really get a handle on what's been happening with the marketplace and how quickly things have been put away and where they've gone.
And, of course, there is this school of thought that because it was harvested early, that some of that would have been factored in on some of the demand tables, both on feed usage and also exports. Also is one of the aspects that Infarm is using to be somewhat friendly. My general impression is that the government is overestimating ethanol demand, and whatever it is, you know, I think there is still 100 to 200 million bushels of fluff, and I still think that they're stretching things to cut the corn production much. So I still think we had a pretty darn good corn crop, and with the exception maybe of Iowa.
Any final word before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, and it's always a lot of fun to talk to you.
It's always fun to talk to you, and we'll see you for Commodity Week on Friday.
Thank you.
All right, thanks much. That is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon at the bottom of the hour. We will talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Here's what our own Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist at the radio station, says the two-state region will look like. He says lake effect snow advisory is in effect for LaPorte, St. Joe, and Elkhart counties in the far northern parts of Indiana. That until 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 Eastern Time today. Tonight, Ed says, in northern and eastern Indiana skies will be mostly cloudy, some scattered snow showers, a few flurries. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy this evening. Lows will range from 5 below zero in far northern Illinois to 12 above in the far south. January is here for sure. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs ranging from around 20 in the north to 35 in the southwestern part of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL AM 580. Your director of ag programming is here now to take a complete look at today's agricultural programming. His name, or agricultural news, that is. His name is Dave Dickey.
In agricultural news, China is proposing changes to its 1995 food hygiene law, which, if implemented, could include harsher penalties for violators. Press reports say the PRC is calling for penalties as high as 20 times the value of products shipped for food items that fail to meet safety standards of destination countries. The law would also require food exporters and producers to register with the General Administration of Quality Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine, which will maintain a blacklist of violators. The law would also establish a Food Safety Risk Evaluation Committee and would authorize punishment for food safety officials who abuse their jobs. USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins says proposals in the 2007 Farm Bill now in conference committee will likely result in new World Trade Organization cases against U.S. subsidies. In Collins' words, we are going to face continuing challenges for our domestic support programs. Collins singled out countercyclical farm payments and marketing assistance loan payments. Collins also says the new 36-billion-gallon renewable fuel standard is, in his words, very, very bold, very ambitious. The law calls for 20 billion gallons of cellulosic ethanol, 15 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol, and 1 billion gallons of biodiesel. Collins says the RFS will require, in his words, a never-before rate of ethanol plant construction. Meanwhile, the National Cotton Council is expressing frustration that the WTO says changes to U.S. cotton subsidies did not go far enough. Gary Adams is Vice President of Economics and Policy Analysis for the NCC.
There's still an appeal that can be made, and you know, we saw that USTR in their press statement made some mention of the fact that of a possible appeal. So while this is another answer by the panel, it's not the final answer by the panel. There is still an opportunity to come in and hopefully get them to revisit the facts and see things in a different way. That becomes really the next step that I think, based on timing, will probably take us through the first 4 or 5 months of 2008. So we do fully expect there to be an appeal before we, you know what that final answer is on this part of the case.
USDA has mailed out new Census of Agriculture questionnaires. The census is taken every 5 years to gather information on land use and ownership, producer demographics, income and expenditures, as well as production practices, including internet access, water use, on-farm electricity generation ability, and product marketing skills. The census must be returned by February 4th. Publication is anticipated in February of 2009. And the final numbers are in. USDA officials say Asian soybean rust in 2007 was found in 335 counties in 19 states, including Iowa and Illinois. That's 61 counties and 10 states more than in 2006. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, the 60th Illinois Crop Protection Technology Conference will take place next week at the Illini Union right here on the U of I campus in Urbana. I'll have more on the event and its history. The University of Illinois 2008 Crop Protection Technology Conference is scheduled for Wednesday, January the 9th and Thursday, January 10th at the Illini Union on the U of I campus. This year's session marks the 60th anniversary of the conference, which aims to highlight important issues affecting both agriculture and the environment. The conference organizers, including Kevin Steffi, say it is a major milestone.
These started all the way back in 1949. Originally called the Custom Spray Operators Training School, kind of a mouthful. It's gone through a couple of name changes, but we've always had the same objective, and that is to provide the most pertinent, updated, hot-button items for educational purposes for people who work in agriculture, ranging from agricultural professionals in the industry to producers.
From the very start, when it was called the Illinois Custom Spray Operators Training School, the Spray School for short, every effort was made to have the conference address current and important crop and pest management issues, with emphasis on direct benefits for both agriculture and the environment. In a change from recent years, the 60th edition presentations will be made to all participants in one room for the duration of the two-day conference. It is a tradition that goes back to the very roots of the seminar.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of retro. We went back, this thing started with all presentations given in one room. And then we went through a period of years where we had concurrent sessions. But we had enough concurrent sessions that people in attendance couldn't get to all of them. And I guess a good complaint to have is that, gee, I wanted to go to all of them, but couldn't. So we're sort of going back to basics, and we've got all of our five symposia slated to be given in one room so that all attendees get to hear all presentations, or at least those they want to sit through.
The symposia are titled High Production Soybean Management, Managing Nutrients and Water Quality, Pest Resistance and Resistance Management, Integrated Pest Management in the Crosshairs, and High Production Corn Management. The organizers of the 2008 Illinois Crop Protection and Technology Conference hope each will address the most critical concerns, answer some of the toughest questions, and open the doors for continued discussion. Registration materials for the conference are online. Just search Google for Illinois Crop Protection Technology Conference. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Kay Whitlock is off today, but the folks at the Andersons are in. Greg Johnson is there to talk with us about the cash grain market. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Todd.
You had a good holiday, I hope.
Very good. Very good. Thanks.
And then when you came back, farmers had some nice things to look at, didn't they?
This is a good way to start the year, isn't it?
You betcha.
Yes. And the farmers are selling into it a little bit, but not near enough as to offset what the funds are buying. We'll give credit to the funds today. Sometimes we say mean nasty things about the funds, but today the funds are our friends.
Yeah, you know, we say mean and nasty things to them, but they tend to be buyers always almost, and I don't look forward to the day that they tend to be sellers, I suppose.
Then we'll go back to saying mean and nasty things about them again.
That's when we'll call them the elephants again. That's a Wayne Nelson. That's a little Wayne Nelson term. He likes to call them the elephants.
Elephants.
Yeah, so
They are big.
Yeah, they're big. So tell me, do you think farmers ought to be selling into this rally?
I think on beans, probably yes. New crop especially. I still think we're going to see a big acreage number, but that's still 3 months away. That's not till the end of March. So in the meantime, you've got the equities going down. You've got a weak dollar. You've got funds believing that commodities are the place to go. Gold made new highs today. Oil up to $100 a barrel at one point. So corn, beans, and wheat follow along. Right.
Well, we don't need them to believe. We need them to continue to believe the commodities are the place to go. If you're an owner of the commodity, that is, like a farmer.
Exactly. And until we know, number one, how many acres we're going to plant, and then number two, what the weather's going to be like, it's going to be hard to sell this market off very much, you know. So I think for corn, you can probably hold on and see how much higher corn wants to go here over the next couple of months. Last year, the high didn't come until February 22nd, so we've got a little bit of time yet. And if the funds want to buy it, it sure feels like it wants to work higher. The only thing that concerns me, like I say, is eventually, you know, if we do really plant a lot more bean acres, that new crop bean market could go down. But old crop beans are very strong. In fact, I was just kind of looking 6 months ago today, the July-November bean spread was even money. July beans were trading at the same price. Old crop beans were basically trading the same price as new crop beans. Today, that spreads out to $1.25 inverse. So old crop beans have gained $1.25 on the new crop beans, and probably will continue to gain a little bit more over time.
Indeed. What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 446. New crop corn this fall, 455. Cash beans, 1204. New crop beans, 1108. And new crop wheat, 736.
Hey, stay warm out there.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, that's Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report, usually on Mondays. He's filling in today for Kay Whitlock, who's out of the office this afternoon. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Right now, it's time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Rob Blagojevich says questions about a federal corruption probe are tangential and not relevant to the problems facing the people of Illinois. Blagojevich made his comments during an afternoon news conference where he tried to keep the attention on mass transit funding and off a federal corruption probe that's moved closer to him. A court document claims Blagojevich boasted to a key witness about awarding contracts and other work to boost campaign fundraising. Blagojevich, however, said no such conversation took place. Meanwhile, lawmakers are supposed to convene in special session in Springfield this evening to once again take up the Chicago area transit funding issue. Governor Blagojevich says he still favors a proposal that would shift state gasoline sales tax money to provide the funding. The governor wants legislators to pass a long-term funding plan before a January 20th deadline. That's when the Chicago Transit Authority, Metra, and PACE say they'll have to increase fares, lay off workers, and cut service if no permanent funding solution is reached. It was a cold morning for about 600 West Champaign households who were without electricity for several hours today. Ameren says a burned cable caused the outage, which began about 1:30 a.m. Repairing the damage required the interruption of power to additional homes, but all power was restored by 9:30 a.m. Some homes near the corner of Healy and Russell in Champaign also saw their yards flooded when an Illinois American Water crew accidentally overfilled an emergency water tank, sending water out into neighboring yards. Salt was used to break up the resulting ice. Thousands of relatives and friends of some 3,400 Indiana National Guard soldiers headed for Iraq have filled much of the RCA Dome in Indianapolis for a departure ceremony. Today's ceremony marks the largest single deployment of Guard troops from Indiana since World War II. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Service has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hope you had a very good holiday season.
I did. Hope you did the same.
I did until we got to January 1st, and I walked out the door, and it was just frigid outside here in the Midwest.
Yeah, we kind of moved to another planet, I think. Not only was it nasty cold out there, but there was some pretty impressive snowfall there in northern Indiana and southern Michigan, anywhere from, 12 to 20 inches of snow being reported across that region. Many areas experienced blizzard or near blizzard conditions for a while in the past couple of days across that area. And yes, indeed, that temperatures did plunge across a big part of the nation. And what's interesting is this cold air mass is actually cut off from the Arctic. This kind of came in from Canada and has no follow-up reinforcing cold air to it, so that's good news. That means that once we get beyond tomorrow morning, we'll start a rather dramatic reversal, and temperatures this weekend and early next week will be well above average.
And then if you take a look around the planet, what do you see on the global weather front for the growing regions?
Well, it certainly looks as though Argentina continues to limp along. They've had some timely precipitation in the past couple of weeks, which has left their crop in relatively good condition in some areas, but we still have some dryness out there. And over the past few days, we've been inducing a lot more 90-degree temperature and not a lot of heat, or not a 90-degree temperature without a lot of precipitation. Let's try it that way. And so the end result is we are firming up the soil at a more rapid rate right now. But there is news on the precipitation side of things next week. It looks like most of Argentina will come up with a significant amount of rainfall from two or three disturbances that will begin on Sunday and last all the way through the second weekend of the two-week outlook. If the forecast verifies, we will not only see precipitation across a large part of the nation, but we'll also see cooler weather. So once again, the timeliness of this precipitation will find Argentina's crops still staying in relatively favorable condition with hopes of continuing the pattern down the road. In Brazil, it looks as though timely rains will continue. There are no problems in that country right now as far as I'm concerned. There's a little bit of dryness that's in the far northeast, and that may hang on. The month of January could very well be a drier than usual month for the states of Bahia and northernmost sections of Minas Gerais and northeastern Goiás, but those are not major soybean-producing areas. They could end up yielding a little bit lower in those areas, but the rest of the country, I think, is going to stay in very good shape and should counter whatever losses occur there. Elsewhere in the world, we're still watching parts of India. It's still too darn dry in some of the unirrigated wheat and rapeseed producing areas there. Significant rain must occur in the next few weeks in order to prevent a significant loss in yield potential. Spain has been rather dry, but they're going to get rain today into Friday, so that'll help their situation temporarily. And outside of that, there's a little dryness in South Africa and a little bit in eastern Australia, but neither of those areas will stay dry for very long. Some timely rain should be coming up relatively soon.
Well, Drew, thank you very much, and I wish you the best starts to the 2008 year.
Thank you very much, and you do the same.
All right, that's Drew Lerner. He's the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist out of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. Stay warm. I'm Todd Gleason.